Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko! Yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
There. I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rock.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DonWuFang.net. And finale, oh my gosh, seriously. Like, pretty much most epic thing ever. Am I right here?
Yes.
I expected more of a spaz here, but it's 2 a.m.
Words cannot describe the finale.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm your main host, Dylan. Today I'm joined by Ben.
Hello.
Jeff.
Duke.
Sam.
What's up?
And Melanie. So yeah, podcast on DonWuFang.net. In the background right now you hear... Oh, it's not my time. Okay, yeah, you hear it's not my time in the background. I don't know why. Jake said so. I guess Aang, like, going back and forth in the finale debating. If that makes any sense. Okay. So yeah, I guess we should get into the finale discussion. Not sure how I'm going to break this podcast down yet. I guess we'll see. So let's start with the previously. It was kind of weird. It went on for a while. It was pretty epic though. They showed a lot of awesome scenes.
Longest previously on Avatar ever.
Yeah, and there's a lot to cover there. And we start with 318, called The Phoenix King, or Sozin's Comet Part 1, The Phoenix King. Written by Melco Dante DiMartino, directed by Mr. Spalding, and last time I'm going to get to say that. Aww. So let's start off, just going to, we're going pretty quickly here since we don't have a lot of time to record. Start with the Aang training scene with Zuko, and yeah, Zuko gets mad at him for not being like tough enough. Katara comes out with watermelon juice. I find that kind of funny that they have watermelons in the Avatar world.
They had the Melon Lord.
Yeah, Melon Lord. They needed some... I think they came up with Melon Lord first, and then they had something... needed something to base it on.
You need to have some sort of melon to make that make sense.
Yeah. So they chose watermelons.
I've actually had watermelon juice. It's pretty good.
Technically, Momo, he was eating the Fire Lord's brain there by eating that watermelon.
Okay.
And he'll turn evil.
Yeah. I thought...
that'll be the basis of the next series.
So yeah, Aang wants some. Zuko thinks they should keep practicing casuals.
Cajoles.
Cajoles? What's that mean?
It means, like, we're cajoling you to get going, you know?
Never gonna heard that before. So, okay.
Casuals.
Yeah. Pretty minor scene there. Then Sokka... So it's like Zuko's being serious here, the gang's not. Sokka initiates a beach party, and I think this was the creator's excuse to see all the characters in their swimsuits one more time. I like Suki, though. We haven't seen Suki before in her swimsuit.
That was epic.
Yeah, that's pretty epic. And Sokka's sculpture of Suki. It was pretty funny. She's like, I think it's me. Toph makes the Ba Sing Se sculpture. That was really cool. And they had the mini Earth King. The last Earth King reference in the whole show. So yeah, Zuko starts attacking Aang and destroys everything. I don't know if I like the scene. It was a little bit of, it's like action for the sake of action. I think it was very unnecessary. So Zuko,
I don't know, I think he was just trying to get Aang to strike back at him.
Yeah.
Instead of just dodging.
And I think they could have just done it by talking. So yeah, then they explain to Zuko that they aren't... Aang actually isn't going to beat the Fire Lord by the comet, and then Zuko... We have the awesome war council scene where Zuko says they can't break them, let's break their hope, and then he's like, we should break their hope, and Zuko's like, let's burn it to the ground, and so they do that. And I thought that was, my favorite part about that was the John O'Brien episode's not filler anymore, 309, because that was a very important war meeting.
We didn't know about.
Yeah, all we know now.
So I don't know if that can still count as a...
I always thought that was a war meeting about the Day of Black Sun, specifically, just to get ready for the eclipse.
That's what I thought. And then, the gang gets back together, Team Avatar is back. Ned, their group hug. And then Zuko. Well, it's not much to discuss here, I guess. Zuko tries to teach Aang lightning redirection. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, not much to say there. What's the death ultimatum?
Just that you're going to kill him before he kills you.
Oh, yeah. That scene heard it 100 times now. Yeah. Sokka strategizing. Oh, okay, then Sokka makes this little plan, and they have to...
Melon Lord.
Take out the Melon Lord's, like, what is it? Sokka and Suki go from the left, Katara Zuko go down the middle, then Aang comes in later and has to strike him. And the Melon Lord is kind of cool with... Toph got into it, too.
I'm not Toph, I'm Melon Lord!
I just thought that was a really funny scene. And Aang, of course, hesitates to chop off his melon.
I think that whole Sokka beheading the Melon Lord was a little bit dark, even if it was just a melon.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of dark of Sokka doing that. I don't know.
And the sword has a purpose.
Yeah, and then to get even farther, Katara brings out the picture.
Yep, until I found it was Ozai. Then it was ugly.
Yeah, it was... That was kind of... Because you're like, oh, it's baby Zuko. It's not, it's Ozai. And it's like, puts even more him in a human light. And Toph here. Oh my god. I knew it. You did a secret thing with her. this little shout out. It's like, the creator's like, how can we destroy each possible Katara ship in order? And so they do that. Starting with Haru Tara. Glue bending. What was the glue bending line?
He just says, maybe we can make a big jar of glue and I'll glue bend him and keep his arms and legs together so he can't bend.
Yeah, a lot of like...
A
lot of out of character, or not out of universe stuff here, I don't know. Glue bending seems a little... The glue bending and the secret thing with Haru were more, I think, fan things, I guess.
Like, well, we've already seen glue in 313, so...
Not bending it, though.
Well, he's probably just joking.
Yeah, well, he is just joking, but... Why, there's, like, nothing to discuss here.
The music was amazing, I have to say, with the chanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I only saw the finale once so far, so it's a little tough here. Aang falls asleep. Then hears the chanting and everything. I didn't hear the music. I was watching on a pretty bad quality feed, so TV, my cable was all screwing up. So I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
It's the best music ever. It was all like...
I got to hear it again, yeah. And then Trancing walks towards Mysterious Island, swims out to it, Momo follows him. And then it's...
Actually, thought for a minute, he was killing himself. I was like, what?
Nah, I don't know. I knew that. You could see the island in there. And then... Gang packing. That's another thing. Katara would notice Aang is gone. It's these small things.
She has an Aang sense.
She should know. She should notice Aang isn't there. It's.
My Aang senses are tingling.
Yeah, really. They're in love. They should know that. So they search the house, find staff, search the island, find the footprints going out. Yeah, they search the island. Then we get this Toko scene. It's a little bit weird. Toph wants to go on a life-changing field trip with Zuko. They keep using the word field trip, and it's like, everyone else went on a field trip with Zuko, now it's my turn. That was pretty funny. And she acts all... I don't know, it's almost like she was flirting with Zuko. That's really weird. So we got our little Toko scene.
Link to all the other ships in this, though.
Yeah, so many ships in this finale.
Never did the Kozul, though.
Katara and Suki find Actor Aang and Actor Toph. I thought that was funny. I wanted him to do a scream again. I was waiting for it. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even mention the new intro in the beginning. Wow. 10 minutes in. Yeah, guys, the new intro in the beginning, AJ made it awesome. My favorite part is the scream. It goes on for like 10 seconds. It's really funny. Anyway, no one else is talking. Let me keep going. Toph sub story.
Basically reading what the thing says, and then...
I know, can you guys think of anything to comment on this?
Not really.
Yeah, this is pretty much fluff right now.
It's like 2:15 in the morning.
This is the world feature. What's the Toph scene again? The world.
He's just... Feature. Toph's just going on about her childhood.
And oh, yeah, that was really funny. I don't understand. I mean, yeah. She's trying to be friendly with Zuko, I don't know. It's the worst.
Trying to get what she can out of the field trip, I guess.
Yeah. The gang regroups, notices Momo's missing. So this, right before this, I thought Sokka was going to say Momo turned evil and captured Aang, but he didn't. He's like, op 8 Momo. I thought there was some real potential for evil Momo there.
That was hilarious. Then after that, you see him in the background getting spit out by Appa.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Gang turns to Zuko, he's the expert on hunting the Avatar, and he takes them to...
Okay, I don't like that, because that was way too fast, they were hopping around all these places.
Yeah, it seems like it was a little quick for them to start traveling, but... then we see the awesome Phoenix King coronation scene. Azula harasses the Pelican Carriers, Ozai leaves Azula behind, and again, another thing in here. Azula going crazy. You can't treat me like this.
You know what? I actually... We'll probably talk about that later, but I actually feel bad for Azula. Probably, like, the only person who does, but...
I don't know. I don't feel bad for her after she shot at Katara. Unforgivable. My fanboy senses. Ozai turns, overlooking the homeland to Azula, and... Notice, though, Azula never actually gets crowned Fire Lord. So, Fire Lord... One of my awesome theories, Fire Lord Azula, never came to be. But it was close enough, I'd say. Ozai declares himself Phoenix King. Fire flames activate. What does that mean?
I meant to say fire wings. Mistypo. But
fire.
Those flames spitting out the side, those are like wings.
Okay. And then they go to the, as quoted by Katara, I think, Sea to Earth Kingdom Tavern. June Bowen's dudes. Rough dudes without dropping her tea. Oh, that was really funny. And Hidden Junro, they're both passionate about tea, therefore they will find each other and be together forever. Jeff, that is genius.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff made this outline. How did you have time to throw that?
I just typed real fast.
You always have to capitalize the hidden part and then the name of the ship, and then therefore has to be capitalized. Yeah.
And, Aang wakes up on the strange island in the middle of the ocean. So this episode was mainly... This was definitely a setup episode. And it was pretty... I don't know, it was good. This could have been separate from the actual finale, I think. But they did a four-parter, so I don't know. We just went through the whole episode in 13 minutes. Stuff to discuss in here. I guess the plan to burn the Fire Nation to the ground. I thought it was interesting that...
I think it's way too unrealistic. There's no way they're gonna burn the whole Fire Nation with like 20 airships in time.
Well, I think they could have. It's just I'm surprised they didn't take Aang as a factor into it.
I mean, the Fire Nation is huge, and that whole line is like I don't know, a mile or two or three across, and they only have a limited time.
You have to remember they're enhanced firebending, so...
Right, but that firebending doesn't enhance their airship speed.
Yeah, that's true.
Burning the Fire Nation or the Earth Kingdom?
Earth Kingdom.
Did I say Fire Nation? Sorry, Earth Kingdom.
Yeah. Just making sure.
So, yeah, that was just a sore point for me.
Yeah. So, I don't know, favorite things in this episode, Melon Lord.
Melon Lord.
Definitely.
Yeah. The coronation scene, the the war attempt, war thing scene, war council. Mm-hmm. Overall, I don't know, do you want to grade this one? It's kind of weird to grade individual finale episodes, but I'd give it like an 8.5. Good, not epic.
Are you grading it as by itself or as the first
one? Just by itself.
Well, then that lowers my score.
I don't know. Anyone else want to grade it out of 10?
Not really.
I'm going to take this all as a finale and grade that.
Okay.
Me too.
Well, let's go next one. That was pretty quick. I don't think the other's going to be as quick. The Old Masters, Soden's Comet Part 3, written by Aaron Ehaz, directed by Giancarlo Volpe. Yeah, starts off with the gang enlist Jun's help to... They said June in it, didn't they? In the episode.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like calling her Jun, though. June's help in finding the Avatar. They said the name of the Shirshu Nyla. I thought that was really funny. I don't know. Anyone else find that funny?
It sounds a lot like what I do with my cat. So it's really funny.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, June's like, sure. Appa and Nyla get along. That was interesting.
Aren't they at each other when they came out?
Yeah, they were growling at each other, and then they, like, licked each other or whatever.
Yeah. Jun snuggles Nyla, what was that?
That was just, like, I don't know, showing affection for Nyla.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Nyla sniffs the staff, she can't find Aang Sen. Jun says that he doesn't exist, but he's not dead. And I have Sozin's comic book right here. And they gave it, this was one of the questions in the interview. And they had the explanation for it of, he was on the lion turtle, and the lion turtle is thousands and thousands of years old. So what happens is that its scent, Nyla can't separate it from the earth. So basically its scent is that of the earth itself, the lion turtle. So that's why she can't find Aang, because he's blends in with the earth scent, basically. Pretty interesting. I'm having some big great co-hosts right now. What's next?
It's hard to think of a response to that, really.
Yeah, I know. There's not much to discuss right here. Aang notices that Momo can see him and he can bend, so he's not in the spirit world. Exciting. So they can't find Aang, so Zuko gets June to track Iroh. Gets Iroh's smelly sandal.
I don't understand why he saved that.
Who knows? I mean, seriously.
A little piece of Iroh to remember him.
Yeah.
And Toph thinks it's sweet.
Yeah.
The smelly foot.
Zuko, this episode. This finale.
I also suffer with foot odor, so I feel Iroh's pain.
Thank you for sharing. Nyla picks up the scent. Appa takes off and follows Nyla in the air. And they get to the outer wall in Ba Sing Se. I think it's pretty interesting that there's a lot of space between the walls, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just the city, wall city. Yeah.
It's like a country in between.
Yeah.
Like plains and stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. So, then June and Nyla go as quick as they leave. And the gang camps out. So, yeah, Aang finds this hexagon at the top of the island.
We had a name for it, okay? It's
Epic Hexagon.
Epic Hexagon.
Epic Hexagon. At the top of the island, not Earth, not bendable. Anyone know what this is? Because I couldn't figure it out.
No, they just said it wasn't rock, but it looked like
it definitely represents something. I don't know. It wasn't a question in the interview.
It's Epic Hexagon. It represents epic six-sidedness.
Thank you for it. By the way, Mel, your volume's a little low. I want to fix that. And use some background noise. Anyway, Aang summons Roku. He's a summoner. He pretty much... Which is interesting that he could just tap into his past avatars at any time. It's like, oh, you can do that. Thanks for telling me now. And so...
Is that any better?
No, same thing.
Oh, that's weird.
Roku reveals that all the past avatars' wisdoms are available. Roku doesn't know what the island is, which was... Very interesting. It's the first time we ever see Roku have limited knowledge. Aang asks Roku about facing Ozai. Oh, yeah, then it cuts off. Fire encircles the gang's camp. The old masters appear. That was a really awesome entrance. They're wearing white lotus tiles around their necks.
I'm disappointed. I mean, it seems obvious now that was a white lotus tile around Boomy's neck in the trailer.
We didn't see it, really.
No, but we didn't know it then.
Yeah. So it was Boomy, Paku, Piandao, and...
Zhong.
Yeah, missing Jake. Jake's gonna kill me for that, missing him. It was so awesome that they're all part of it.
Well, and all old people know each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
Roku, then we cut back to Aang. Roku gives Aang's wisdom. Roku is not decisive at the beginning of the war. He must be decisive. So basically what all the Avatars do is they go back and give them... We're just recapping the episodes here, I don't know. Give them...
Horrible advice.
Advice based on their own
experience. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Based on their own experiences. Yeah, so the gang reunites the old masters. Katara bows to Paku. Paku reveals that he had married Grand Grand. That was pretty sweet.
Grand Paku.
It's like, Grandpa. What was the line? Can I go? Grand Paku. Sokka said that. I thought that was pretty funny. Zuko meets John Jong. Sokka bows Piando. Reveals that all the old masters of White Lotus members. Iroh summoned the White Lotus a month ago. And then they go to the camp in Ba Sing Se. So then we go back to Aang and Kyoshi. Kyoshi refers to Chin the Conqueror's death. Which I kind of find it hard to believe that's the only important thing that happened in Kyoshi's lifetime. We've seen it twice now.
Wasn't she like the longest?
Yeah, she lived the longest and that's it.
She lived like 230 years.
Yeah, Kyoshi's advice, only justice will bring peace.
I was telling everybody I could quote Shakespeare with that right now, but it's 2:25 in the morning and...
Yeah. So we have our Boomy flashback. Then we go back, Boomy flashback, some closure to this. Single-handedly took a Mashu Bear during the eclipse.
It would happen.
Makes Fire Nation buildings fly off the city mountainside, shoots rocks into statues at face, claps his bridge.
Awesome. This is why I love Boomy so much. He is just so awesome.
Yeah. So we have closure on Boomy's storyline. We have closure on Paku's. What the finale is.
I'm really mad because my DVR, its audio cut out right when they were beginning that scene, so I still don't know what he said.
Yeah, I think Man may have too. I don't know. It cut out somewhere.
Everybody's dead.
Really?
Yeah, mine did.
Yeah, so it was a Nick thing.
I didn't do it the second time though when I watched it.
Sokka says they didn't do anything important during the eclipse. Interesting. So then we go back to Aang, summons Kuruk. Kuruk reveals the story with Ko and him.
And that was Ko's appearance.
Yeah. I was waiting for Ko to come back, and that was it. Over speculation there. Thank you, Jake Source, for being specific. We saw Ko for 2 seconds. Kuruk's advice, you must actively shape your destiny and the destiny of the world. Old people can't. The gang arrives at the old people camp. Katara consoles him. Consoles. Zuko enters Iroh's tent. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Wow, this is really boring. Zuko enters tent, finds Iroh asleep, sits down to wait. Go back to Aang. Aang summons Yang Chen. Yang Chen identifies with Aang's predicament. All life is sacred. This isn't about Aang, it's about the world. Many great and wise airbenders have to attach themselves, but the Avatar cannot do it. There's a very important line there. Selfless duty calls Aang to sacrifice his own spiritual needs and to do whatever it takes to save the world. So basically... Kind of, and we'll get to this more later, but we saw no Avatar state at all, what was going on there. So we know that Aang didn't detach himself. So basically, I don't know. Aang resolves that he must kill the Fire Lord. No, he doesn't really, does he?
Well, he said, I have no choice, I have to kill the Fire Lord.
I don't think he meant that. I think, that's just based on predicament. So I don't know.
He's more or less trying to persuade himself, but yeah. It really doesn't end up working, as we'll find out.
Spoil us. Iroh wakes up, Zuko pleads for some goodness, Iroh yanks Zuko into a hug. Was it just me, or was... Oh, gosh.
I really liked his Greg Baldwin's plead speech.
Yeah, but was Greg Baldwin's voice not as close to Mako as it was? Mako as it was before, or is that just me?
I think it was a little bit off, yeah.
It's still, that's the closest we're getting, so.
He did the best he could. We can't blame him.
Yeah, it's so impossible to copy that voice. There is a nice speech there. I don't know if we could have spent more time in that scene, I guess. I was never angry with Zuko. He said that Zuko had lost his way. Zuko had found his way again by himself.
That's one of my favorite scenes.
I don't know. I could have used some expansion there.
I wish they could have talked more about, like, how all of a sudden Iroh went from that old man to, like, Incredible Hulk style, because, you know, that was just pretty awesome.
Yeah, we didn't see anything on Iroh's story. Iroh's storyline's still very much open after the finale. Spinoff. Anyway.
I only hope.
Yeah, seriously. Aang wakes up. The island is moving towards the mountain range. Aang dives underwater to see what the island's made of. Discovers it's a huge creature. Aang swims to the front and finds the creature's face. Then we have the strategizing scene. I love this. Iroh refuses to fight Ozai. He says it would be the wrong way to end the war. History would see it as more senseless violence. The Avatar must end the war. Iroh refuses to take the throne, says that Zuko must do it. Zuko agrees to try. Iroh had a vision that he would one day take Ba Sensei. He realizes the vision's true meaning now. It basically represents, you know, Iroh's complicated past that he took. He still believes in destiny, believes you can shape your own, I guess. I don't know. Zuko must return to the Fire Nation capital. Iroh says that Zuko must bring help. Okay, now here's my first little rant. Zuko enlists Katara. Now, I don't know. I'm going to talk about this a lot more, but why was Katara not with Aang? I mean,
because he ran away?
Yeah, but
possibly?
You know, none of the relationships at the end are actually connected to the storyline, as we see. And that's my biggest complaint about this whole end of the thing. Cat Aang didn't have any significance. I hate to say it, but there's no real point to it. The Avatar state was completely resolved on its own, I guess. He didn't need to make a choice between Katara and the Avatar state. And Aang's battle didn't involve Katara at the slightest. So it's just like, now, she kind of represents Aang's new life, I guess, after, but I don't understand why they chose to have Katara there instead of Toph. I think Toph there would have been really good, and it would have expanded on the Toko that was building up. But then again,
true, because the only reason they would have done that is for Katara and Zuko not bonding, but forgiving, and we already did that in the recent.
Yeah, and as I'll say a couple more times, Katara and Zuko's forgiveness in their relationship, what it is, it represents the healing between the Fire Nation and the rest of the world that's going to happen. And the fact that this person who had her mom taken by the Fire Nation is able to forgive the Fire Nation prince next in line to the throne. That really, it just represents how the world can come back together. And that's what this whole thing is. I think they go on it too much, in my opinion. I'm not even, like, being, like, mad about Zatar or anything here. I really would have preferred Toph there, I guess. But then we wouldn't have seen the whole epic Toph Sokka scene later, so I don't know.
It's just that out of everybody, it made the most sense for Katara to go, because only waterbender and she's a healer, so
it did make the most sense, but again, like, Aang, it just brings no significance. There was no significance to Cat Aang in this.
If she didn't go with Zuko, then Zuko wouldn't have needed to be healed in the first place, because Azula would never have.
That's true.
Met Katara and he never dove in front of it.
Yeah, Zuko was going to beat Azula on his own. Yeah.
Technically, Katara's like,
Katara, it was a hamper on the final battle, I guess. So we'll get more into that later. Sokka thinks that the rest of the gang should do what they can to against the airship fleet. Sokka, Suki, Toph take off on a giant eel hound. I thought that was a little crazy.
What's that thing?
Yeah, no. Iroh will reconquer his tea shop. That's a little weird phrasing there. He would, his tea shop and play pie show every day. Gang takes.
Sounds like bliss.
Yeah, seriously. Just need Jude there. And that's all I really want. Gang takes off on their individual tasks. Aang finds the creature's face. The creature brings Aang up to eye level. And we have the phrasing here. Actually, I have the exact quote. The closed captioning was a little off, Jeff.
Okay. How'd you get it?
It's in Sozin's comic book, actually. It says it. If I can find it. But Aang asked the lion turtle for advice. But I just want to discuss the whole concept of the lion turtle here for a minute. I don't really understand it.
Isn't that really symbolic in Chinese mythology or whatever? Like a giant turtle floating in the water?
Anyone know about it?
I could look it up.
To Wikipedia.
It sounds familiar.
In water.
I mean, we've seen it once before anyways, like with that Aladdin movie.
I think there's a question on it here in the Sozin's comic book. Let me try to find it. By the way, this is the one thing that was truly bad production-wise with the finale. You could not understand the voice of the lion turtle. Okay, there's nothing here, but lion turtle voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson, who's a great actor. But they distorted everything. It was a really cool voice. What was he saying? And here's what he was saying. He said, "The true mind can weather all lies and illusions without being lost. The true heart can touch the poison of hatred without being harmed. From beginningless time, darkness thrives in the void, but always yields to purifying light." So very deep there, what he was trying to say. Let's break it down line by line, I guess. Let's talk about it. Because this is probably the most important stuff of the episode. The true mind can weather all lies and illusions without being lost. Anyone there?
I'm not sure what they mean by true mind.
Maybe one's true mind.
Like any person's,
I guess,
mind that's their own and not influenced by others.
Hmm.
Therefore.
Yeah, because what Aang took from this was that he did not have to kill the Fire Lord, so.
Oh, because he wasn't. Because the avatars were saying do it, and he wasn't.
Yeah, so I guess those are illusions and lies. So his true mind is what mattered there, I guess.
Okay.
The true heart can touch the poison of hatred without being harmed.
Well, that would be. Of him with those eyes, the whole spirit bending thinger at the end.
Yeah, well.
Where they said you have to, your spirit has to be unbendable, or you'll become corrupted.
Yeah, I don't
it's kind of like it's kind of like with that heart line. The true heart can touch the poison of hatred without being harmed. It's as if you're above whether you hate or not hate. Like hating is bad. It's that you can hate, but you're not harmed by hating. You can let it go. That's what a true heart means. Maybe.
Yeah. There's hatred around you, but you can ignore that, and you cannot let it affect you. That's what Aang really has done. And from the beginningness of times, my favorite one, darkness thrives in the void, but always yields to purifying light. Very deep there. Not really. It's just saying, evil is always there. Hatred is always there within the world, but always love will overcome. I don't know. This is. Because, you know, I'm obsessed with love-hate and this little thing. So that's what I took this as. So
Sometimes things have to get worse before they can truly get better.
Yeah.
That's what I think it means.
Yeah, so, yeah. Hmm. Darkness. I don't know if it's saying that. I don't know if it's saying that. Because it doesn't really say they need to get worse. It's saying, from beginningless time, darkness. Is always there, always thrives in the darkness, thrives in the void, but always yields to purifying light. So, like, even if darkness, evil, hatred are there, it's always going to be overcome by good and love. Agree, disagree?
Agree.
That's pretty much what it means.
I love that line. That's probably the one line I understood.
Hatred, though.
Say there.
Now that I understand it, of course.
Yeah, so, and from this, Aang took that he didn't have to. So the creature touches Aang's heart and mind, green glow happens. What was that? I was having a little trouble understanding this.
The green significant.
Well, he talks about the mind and the heart, and he touches his mind and heart, so.
Was he, like, purifying them?
Maybe.
Perhaps it was like some... Go ahead.
No, I was saying I don't know.
Well, I was going to say that maybe it was some way of, like, showing Aang what he could do, like, you know, enlightenment, if you will.
That's interesting.
Is there a significance of it being green, or is that just a color they chose?
Perhaps someone likes Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's
Look beyond the horizon.
Yeah. The creature, wait for him, he will come. That's trying to make it sound epic. And it was. So then Aang is at the Stone Pillar Field. Ozai stands in front of the airship fleet. The comet comes, skims across the atmosphere. Talk about your theory, Jeff.
Okay, so basically, comets have predictable orbits, and unless they're affected. That's a common thing that people brought up in, you know, comedy videos on YouTube or whatever. A comet is made of ice and rock, and fire doesn't exist. So how does a big ice ball help firebenders? And everywhere that we see this comet, it's glowing with fire, which I've always understood meant that it's actually in the atmosphere. So it looks like the last cycle, it skimmed across the atmosphere, which created its fire. And that, however, reduced its kinetic energy, made it slow down slightly. So this next run, it also skimmed, losing even more energy. Pretty soon, its orbit is going to decay enough, or skewed or whatever, and it may, at some point, impact the Earth. But the main thing is, in far back 100-year cycles, the comet probably did not affect the firebenders, because it wasn't skimming the atmosphere.
Which is why I'd explain why this hasn't happened until now in history.
Right, because if it had been skimming all that time, it would have impacted by now. There's no way it would stay up, so yeah.
I like that theory a lot, actually. It makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it could impact the Earth, or in the future, or it could just slow down to a halt and burn up in the atmosphere. I think that's the other option.
Yeah.
Science and Avatar just go hand in hand, don't they?
They really do.
I like it.
Yeah, so this also, good thing about your theory here is that it would make it so that soon the comet will become a non-factor again. If it does burn up.
Either that or become a huge factor for a new series.
And even if it does, Aang can pretty much, I think he could handle it.
Possibly.
It's not like anyone's going to try to harness it again. Hopefully.
The thing is, I doubt Aang will be around when it comes again.
Oh, it's 100. Yeah, it is 100 years. I don't know. I actually think it definitely will.
I mean, if for some reason it comes when the Avatar's a child and it's going to impact the Earth, everyone's dead. Sorry. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
It'd be surface. Bright and cheerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And that was the end of 319. That a very good setup episode. Probably. Mm-hmm. 9.5 for me. No, a 10. This, I don't know. I don't want to grade them individually, but this was great. Great job. Aaron always does a great job setting up, or if he needs to, and did. Good job in Day of Black Sun with the execution, too. So, we go from this into the Inferno. A terrible episode name, but let's ignore that. Let's start reading the outline. This is all going to be one podcast officially, by the way. So the comet pushes clouds out of the way. Zuko worries about Aang's resolve. Explain that one.
Well, he just said that I hope Aang decides to face the Fire Lord.
Yeah, Katari's going to come back. He has to. And I took that line more of a Cat Aang thing than I did.
I did too, yeah.
He has to save her. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like, he has to come back for the world and for me. I thought that was continuing.
I thought too, coupled with that.
It's like back at 107. It's like, the world can't lose you, neither can I.
Yeah. Like I said, more of a developed one here. Yeah. This is why I didn't like the fact that it was like, oh, she didn't decide till the end. No, it's still there's lines like this that are still here. She knows that she's in love with him.
Oh, I love Katang.
Yeah, seriously. Sam, this is the one time Sam talks the entire podcast.
Excuse me.
Okay.
2 seconds after this was over, right up on YouTube was the video of that kiss.
I know. Who did that? Who made that so good?
Oh, somebody videotaped.
Oh, so scary. Yeah. Zula is being tended to by handmaidens. She finds a pit in her cherry. So yeah, she's becoming paranoid. She banishes the handmaiden. I thought she actually showed some restraint there. She could have done worse.
I was talking to Mina, and he said if she, you know, if she was really stupid, she would have answered her question about what day it is, like Tuesday. And
then, you know, yeah, no, I thought I.
That's like.
What day is it? Tuesday. I could have seen it happening.
It's probably something I would have done.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
The comment is beautiful. Good commentary there. Tuca.
Yeah. I sometimes use
Tafsuki Kasaka.
Yeah, one word.
Economic. Or it sounds like a three-way.
Love triangle.
Yeah, seriously. Or eyes of the fleet, it's already in the air. Toph launches them into the nearest airship.
Freaking amazing animation.
What? I didn't hear that, Mel.
Freaking amazing
animation. Oh yeah, freaking amazing animation. Again, I can't really comment on the animation. I was watching on a crappy TV. I love how they just get into an airship right away, though. It's not that even that hard. And then paranoid Azula banishes.
Yeah, you have to see.
This was the worst move that she made in the entire show. How stupid can you be? You banish the Ty Lee.
Dylan, she's not thinking right.
I know, but I'm telling you, this truly represents the downfall of her.
If she's insane in the membrane.
No one could have beaten her. She had I think it was 5 Ty Lee agents there.
She goes from Iron Azula to Crazy Azula to Paranoid Azula.
And I just love the Crazy Azula going down plotline, because really, if she wasn't crazy, she'd be unstoppable right now. That's why it's like the only way that she could have been defeated. It's almost luck, even, for the gang. Or you could say it's going to happen. It's bound to happen eventually, since the way she treats people.
It's destiny.
Mm-hmm. Ira said destiny is our friend today. So.
Armor Toph takes out the bridge crew. That's how it's done. And Suki takes the wheel, brings the ship to close to water level.
I don't understand why none of the other airships thought there was something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They were just all going in the same formation. And maybe they tried. I think here's what I thought. That it was more important for them to get the burning done, because since they had a limited amount of time. So even if another airship was taken over, they still had to stay on task.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, there's the. Tsuk was like, take the wheel. And Toph was like, you want the blind girl to do that? And she's like, I was talking to Suki, actually. And so Sokka summons the crew to the Bombay, drops them out. He's like, we have a very special birthday to celebrate. While Sozin's Comet is there, while they're burning the Earth Kingdom and about to completely rule the world, we have a very special birthday to celebrate. I guess that shows how informed the crew is.
He really does care.
Yeah. I can't believe the captain remembered my birthday here. And then they all get through and it's like, oh, happy birthday.
I like the two fire soldiers mingling there.
Yeah, communications and what was the other guy in?
Engineering.
Yeah.
I don't know. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Azula summons Lowenly. Paranoid Azula has banished the entire palace crew. She orders Lowenly to fight Nagmi. She ambiguously banishes one of them. I think she said Low is banished, Lee can stay, except she points to the wrong one. So, they're all confused.
Best Magni Kai ever!
Yeah, that would be kind of awesome. And then, yeah, that was a nice scene there. Old Masters begin the liberation of Ba Sing Se. Four Prongs battle begin, or second prong of the Four Prongs. Paku and Piando enter the city. Hover Zhang Zhang provides air support. And we just keep seeing that fire motor now, just propelling you. We saw it like 20 times.
Iron Zhong Zhong, Iron
Iron Ozai, Iron Zula. So we have three now. Zula attempts to do her own hair. Really? Well, yeah, she cuts it off in the front. Zula's hair faces its doom. Good job, Jeff.
Thank you.
She
I just got a haircut today too.
Well, they do that, but when we see the Ursa,
she banished
some.
She banished her.
Get her a straight jacket. My goodness.
Yeah, seriously. And she sees Ursa, and that was a great scene. Ursa loves Azula. She goes crazy, shatters the mirror with her comb, claps into a sob fit. That was a very awesome scene.
So bad. I seriously just felt bad for her.
Ozai begins his onslaught. Aang is on top of the pillar, tells Momo to go. And then the final battle begins. Aang shoots rocks the Andromeda propellers and blasts the Andromeda fire, so it stops it. Ozai blasts to a pillar near Aang. Ozai...
Lauds.
That's lauds me.
It's like applauds. I don't know. It's a word, trust me.
Okay. Lauds the universe's active province, including the Avatar. Okay.
Praise.
Praises. Applauds lots. Delivering the Avatar to him. Ozai has all the power in the world. Oh, he says that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Begin epic with a K fight sequence. Sokka resolves to stop the air fleet with an airship slice using miraculous knowledge of airship operations. Seriously. Little unrealistic. Yeah, the whole airship thing, I don't know. A tad unrealistic. Airship fleet begins... onslaught. Whoa, that's a lot of fire, isn't it? Yeah. Tough. Could feel the heat. Yeah. I think you guys got that.
Yeah.
Sokka overheats the engines. Another freaking awesome animation sequence. Sokka's airship splits. Suki is split from Toph Sokka. I actually, for a minute, it went through my mind. I thought that she would die.
Should lie.
Yeah.
I was like crying.
I don't know. Suki dying, I was like, yay. Suki's still
like, Suki,
thing.
No!
Come back! Safe call, so everyone was screaming, basically, in the microphone.
Yeah, so, okay. And then, it's like, what will happen now? And then Zuko and Katara arrive at Azula's poorly attended coronation, which doesn't get finished. Poorly attended? Oh, yeah, because everyone's vanished. Azula challenges Zuko and Agni Kai. He accepts. Azula's still devious, even though she's crazy.
I'm saying
in
my brain.
Yeah, Zuko senses Azula slipping into mania. Strange wording here. Azula staggers around like the Joker before beginning another epic with a K fight sequence set to amazing music. I can't really comment on the music either. My audio quality was bad.
The music for this was amazing.
Yeah, believe me, it was epic.
Listen to it again.
It was epic with a K.
Return to Aang Ozai fight sequence. Ozai starts shooting lightning. Begin patting. Ozai shoots lightning, Aang runs away and dodges. Aang redirects the lightning, and this is such a good scene. He could have redirected it right back at him, but he decides to go to the right. And for a minute, Aang's like pretty much dying here. And Ozai blasts Aang into the water, he catches himself. Azula, Zuko, Agni Kai. Yeah, there was amazing firebending.
And amazing.
I mean, they were staying in their Agni Kai thing, but still destroying the entire capital.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Then Azula is losing, which is crazy. Azula activates ground jet mode, dodges Zuko's fire blast. Zuko activates breakdown. Gets Azula down. Breakdance mode. Azula summons frigging amazing lightning, decides to go for Katara.
No.
Yes, and she was like, who can I kill? And she goes for Katara. Zuko jumps in the way, partially redirects lightning, and is left crippled. I thought that was the perfect time for Zuko to die, right here.
Wow.
Perfect time. Except he didn't. So sad.
Everybody loves Zuko.
Not me.
Except... Azula, why do you hate him so much?
I don't
much?
Hate him. I'm joking.
I like Zuko.
His character's been good. He's an amazing character throughout the entire show.
More complicated than some of the stuff in Harry Potter. Yeah. That's for sure.
By the way, if we wanted an M. Night Shyamalan twist here, Zuko turning bad again, that would have been amazing in the finale. Just think about
what
it.
What a twist!
Yeah. He did it once. He's like, good now, except he gets back again. Yeah.
Go secretly dead throughout the whole thing.
Secretly dead, sure. Is that last name? Maniacally?
Maniacally?
Maniacally, there you go. I can't read. I think just like the Joker now, because Jeff has seen
Batman was
Dark
amazing.
Knight recently. I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers.
I didn't say spoilers.
Awesome movie.
I'm not gonna
Ozai gets Stang, but he seals himself then an Earth Ball. Ozai repleted to be basketball. He can't do anything with it. And end episode. It's like, what will happen now? Okay, Avatar Aang, greatest name ever.
Epic.
So we go from like the worst episode name ever to the greatest one. Ozai keeps blasting the ball. Innuendo. Toph metal bends the rudder of an airship to crash into the others. I thought that was really cool.
Doing in the background.
I was adjusting my chair.
Wow.
A soldier appears at the top of the airship attacking them. Sokka uses his sword to slow the descent. They fall. Sokka breaks his leg on a platform and is barely holding onto Toph. And this is the epic Taka scene. Soldiers appear on adjacent platforms, preparing to attack. Sokka uses boomerang to stop one soldier, throws a sword to the other, demonstrating again his space sword. Space swords.
Oh god.
Say that word.
Adamantium.
Adamantium.
What is that?
Wait, from X-Men.
Oh. Adamantium like sharpness. And so they asked a question in the interview in the Sotan's comic book. Why did Sokka have to lose his two weapons? And he said it was, they said it was pretty symbolic that it demonstrate that the weapon's gone, that Sokka has been attacked, and the audience been attached to throughout the entire show, that he loses them in order to save his friend.
Those were the worst deaths ever.
Yeah, the boomerang and the space
sword. Yeah, those are the two deaths in the finale. The boomerang and the sword. Soldiers appear in the main catwalk preparing to attack. Toph slips a little more. Soldiers flee in response to an oncoming airship, knock Toph and Sokka onto its top. Suki has contracted a series of ropes to enable her to control the airship from its tail. Yeah. I was like, oh, Suki's not dead. And let's keep going. I wanted at least one death, but there's... I don't know.
You lost the boomerang and the sword. What more do you want?
I know, right?
Seriously. But anyway, Ozai continues his assault on the ball, unleashes Ozai Mania. Aang is not...
What you gonna do when Ozai Mania runs wild on you?
Then Aang is knocked back. A rock.
Protuberance.
You're so big words. I don't know these words. What's that mean? Oh.
Just
oh,
a little outcropping.
Yeah, I know what that means. Okay. A thing. That's my definition of it. Hits him. Okay, now we get into this stuff. Hits him where the lightning did, triggering the miraculous unlocking of the Avatar state. Now, here's where they don't explain the Avatar state thing at all. They kind of,
I have a theory about that.
Okay, let's, now, Jake kind of has inside information, so let's just say, if you were to go back to the Avatar state Katara podcast, Jake has a theory on maturity. That's canon. This is what was meant to be inferred here. I don't know how or why, but it was. And basically they don't explain it at all. But yeah, Aang has matured enough as the Avatar that he is able to have both of them. Did he actually... Now here's the question. He mastered it because he went in and out, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he went in and out at will.
So basically what this did, I guess, was... I think it unsealed the seventh chakra, and instantly as it was unsealed, he unlocked it because of the maturity level he has realized as the Avatar, and the fact that his decision that he came to in not killing Ozai, I think, also went to it.
Oh.
And the fact that he can trust in himself that much, it basically offset the requisites of detaching yourself. Because, as the Avatar, as Yangchan explained, you can detach yourself. So his duty to the world overcame that. And it unlocked as it was unsealed by the memories of it. And I think the past Avatars had something to do with it, too. The unsealing of it.
Well, back in 301, Korra said that around his scar there's a lot of energy twisted up around there, so I guess maybe poking him in the back.
Yeah, I should have poked him in the back.
So
yeah, but
the thing there.
Yeah, so there's your little mini explanation of the Avatar state. Okay. It was unsealed by this. It was instantly unlocked because of his maturity level, and therefore he has control of the Avatar state while still having worldly possessions. I explained that all in like a minute after. That's like the main thing I was worried about going to finale. Pretty sad. Ozai approaches Rebel. Avatar state Aang grabs his goatee. Ozai attempts to attack Aang. He blocks it. Aang air blasts Ozai several hundred yards. Aang hovers in the air. In air bubble, invokes fire from all appendages, summons earth and water, creating his Pwnage Ball. I thought that was so cool. All the elements around him at once.
Oh, epic.
Yeah, seriously.
Gotta love a Pwnage Ball.
Lumi defeats the Fire Nation tanks. Iroh burns the Fire Nation flag over the palace.
Ironic?
Yes. As they take back the Ba Sing Se. The chase is reversed. Aang is chasing Ozai. Okay. Cut to the other scene. Katara runs to Zuko's aid, is attacked by Azula. Azula, I'd really rather our family physician looked after little Zuzu, if you don't mind.
I only quoted that because it was really hard to understand. I had to look at the closed captioning.
Yeah, I don't remember that line. So yeah, that was the one I didn't understand.
All
okay.
I could think out of that was little Zuzu, if you don't mind.
So, okay, and notice in this... let's read it first. Katara takes cover behind the pillars. Katara flees, chased by Azula. Azula's winning here. But yet, in 220, Katara clearly had an upper hand on Azula during that fight. So, I think Crazed Zula is actually enhancing her versus Katara until Katara notices the water, but...
Well, back then, she was a bit more controlled and precise. Here, she's just letting...
Yeah. So until Katara actually thinks it through, she's gone. And you have to go, Mel?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Hidden Zutara has to wait till next week, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll have it all for you next week, guys. That's what you have to look forward to. Okay, say goodbye to Mel. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye, Mel.
I'm the only girl now. Thanks a lot.
So then, where was I? Oh, yeah, so... Katara flees, chased by Azula, notices water beneath the grate, and then she freezes Azula in ice. That was so cool. She freezes them both in ice and water bends herself out of the ice, probably actively blocking her attempts to bend, or she's too crazy to think.
I only put that in because I was just confused why she didn't just do a huge blue fire blast and knock them both back.
Oh, she's frozen. She can move her hands to bend.
She doesn't have to move her hands. Remember in 311, she didn't move her hands when she... Fire bent them out.
Oh, that's true. No, I think...
So I'm thinking that Katara's maybe using her water healing ability to block Azula's chi as she tries and directs it.
Yeah, that would be...
But
it's just a combination of the frozen and the chi, too.
Yeah.
Which would be...
Or she's just too crazy to know what to do.
I doubt that one. Katara binds Azula's hands in chains, releases both of them, and tightens Azula's hands. And heals.
Awesome.
It was so awesome there. Yeah, there's my epic Katara for the episode, for the series, actually. Azula is heading to the funny farm. What? Okay, Jeff. Oh, it's okay. Back to Aang, Ozai. Aang blasts 5 fireballs at Ozai. He dodges them. Aang blocks Ozai's 3 blasts with water. Aang follows Ozai, blasting through pillars as they go.
I just think it's so cool how Aang doesn't even bother to dodge. He just goes straight through.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, he's Avatar State Aang.
Well, yeah.
And his Pwnage Ball. You can't forget that.
Yeah, his Pwnage Ball.
Pwnage Ball.
Aang binds his appendages. What is that?
let's see. Oh, no, you skipped. Aang captures
Ozai in a water tendril. Yeah. Now, what does that mean?
Appendages are arms, legs, and whatever.
Ah.
We can't use big words at 3 a.m. in the morning.
I don't know what they mean. And it's the summer. I don't think during the summer.
It's time to have class, children.
Yeah, seriously. Aang, yeah, bends his arms, legs. Aang launches an ultimate barrage of elements at Ozai. And he's about to kill him. But then he stops, comes out of the Avatar state, says it couldn't end like that. And he detects Ozai's attack with the Earth, with Toph thing. That was so awesome there. little earthbending style there. Locks him down with earthbending. He puts his hands over Ozai's heart and mind. And yeah, I have the quote from the book here. I think it's the same as the one you have there. I believe I had the quote from the book here.
It wasn't that hard to understand as compared to the first one, so I think the transcribed one is the correct one.
Yeah, I think it is. Okay. Then the Lion Turtle says, it's like a past. Was it a past, or it's like part of him almost, really?
I don't know.
It's a little weird, because it wasn't a flashback, so... he says, to bend another's energy, your own spirit must be un... Wait, no, that's the wrong one. In the era before the Avatar, we bent not the elements, but the energy within ourselves.
Analyze that's just that. Cool.
I don't really understand that.
It's kind of like, if any of you have read Aragorn, have you?
No.
Okay, well, in Aragorn, they have magic, and it has these rules, structure, like you use words to invoke it, but before they had words, they would just invoke the magic and with their thoughts, and it's kind of similar, but so they didn't actually bend, it wasn't as structured before the Avatar came.
Yeah, so it's interesting though, bend the energy within ourselves, and the energy was concentrated in bending. That's how bending began, I guess. So...
in the most epic scene ever.
And blue light comes out of Aang's eyes and mouth, red light comes out of Ozai's eyes and mouth. Aang turns blue, Ozai turns red. And then Lion Turtle says, to bend another's energy, your own spirit must be unbendable, or you'll be corrupted and destroyed. So what's that mean? Your own spirit must be unbendable.
Just some mechanic of the energy bending, that if you try and bend someone else's, you're also open to attack, I guess.
Maybe it's about, like... Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I was last time. Like, the last thing the Lion Turtle said, like... his own pure mind and everything. I think it was that your thoughts and ideals and everything, you have to be sure of them, maybe. I'm going to get the quote back from the Lion Turtle last time. But you say, what were you going to say, Ben?
You pretty much said everything I was going to say.
Not really.
I was going to talk about like having a pure heart and, you know, not quavering in your beliefs.
Yeah.
So, pretty much covered it.
Okay. It's the true mind can weather all lies and illusions without being lost. The heart can touch the poison of hatred without being harmed. I think it's relating back to the last thing you said, in that you must be pure, because, like you said, good triumphs over bad, so...
Yeah, it's kind of a synonym, like a true heart, true mind, unbendable, you know? Mm-hmm. Kind of pretty much means the same thing.
Yeah, so your own spirit must be, I think it's saying, like, pure, true, and maybe even good and not hateful, or you will be, or it must be, your own spirit must be solid, yeah, or you will be corrupted and destroyed by this hatred, I think is what it means. So the red almost corrupts Aang. What does that mean? What is that symbolizing, though? Like, he
just
almost
the strength
takes
of Ozai, he's so overpowering.
You really think so?
Well,
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, cause that's one way to look at it. But the blue overpowers and the light fades, and so it's like Aang's almost succumbs to Ozai's strength, but the fact that he is so pure in his ideals and that he is pure from hatred, that he's able to overpower him and the light fades, and Aang bended the energy out of Ozai and took his firebending.
Okay, this is amazing. I mean, like, we thought of Aang not being the Avatar, but I don't think anyone thought of this.
Anyone thought of Ozai not being the Fire Lord, not being the Bender, yeah. And Aang wouldn't have been the Avatar, actually. You know how close Elise's theory was here? The fact
it
that
was...
if Ozai did overpower Aang, he would not have been able to bend anymore. That's pretty crazy. Aang uses the Avatar state to put out the fires, so Ozai is defeated. And the comet leaves the atmosphere. Then Toph, Suki, and Sokka, yeah. You changed it from last time.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. It's a weird ship name.
I think Tuki sounds better.
Tuki comes off the airship. Suki, yeah, queries as to, I actually remember what that means, as to, wonders as to the state of the Phoenix King's life. Ozai collapses, everyone's calling him names.
Loser Lord.
Yeah, Loser Lord, everything. Talk a moment. Leave the nicknames to us, honey. I love Top saying honey, that was great. Never thought I'd hear her say that. Yeah, and that was... So now we go from this to the fake epilogue, so... Okay, so...
I called it in the live podcast. I said there would be an epilogue.
This isn't an epilogue. I don't count it as an epilogue.
It's like a two-week epilogue.
Yeah, how far is this after... Because... So here's the two things on a thing. Leave Nick's name to us, honey, and then Zuko dresses May arrives. Those two are separated by an amount of time. What was the timing there?
Well, how much time had to happen? I mean, all that we know is Zuko got back. I mean, he was still bandaged, so not a whole lot of time happened.
Well, what they did, they were referring to a year ago they started the mission at the end, so it wasn't a year to the day when Sozin's comet came, right? So I'd say about a month. Since, would that be kind of accurate? Since, when did Aang get his ultimatum from Roku? Was that about...
That was the solstice.
The solstice. So they started their journey. Yeah, so it's about a month, 2 months. Timing there. Maybe even three. No, not
at least it wasn't 19
This
years.
Is all assuming that they're speaking completely accurately and saying exactly a year.
Yeah, well... That's all we can assume. I think it's about a month. Which is interesting. So yeah, Zuko dresses, May arrives, and they kiss. And I was, it was a little bit weird. Still a little awkward. I knew what was May like. He's like, don't break up with me again.
But
death
I think it was kind
Zutara.
Of funny. I think it was kind of funny that he said, no, I actually kind of like you. Which, coming from May, is pretty serious.
Yeah.
Even back in 301, it's like, I don't hate you.
See, this seemed like it was the first time that they saw each other again. After, so yeah, I guess May's coming back from jail. She doesn't come back until now. Yeah. So in the Invasion Force reunion. Anyone spot Chitsang in the background there? Because one thing, Chitsang, no seeing Chitsang. So I'm going to look for that when I rewatch it, see if Chitsang's in the bathroom in the background of the Invasion Force. And I'm the proudest father in the world, from Hakoda to them.
I like that line.
Yeah. Ty Lee is a Kyoshi warrior now, completely random. And it makes a lot of sense, though. They match in, like, styles and everything. They bond.
Yeah, back in 216, it's like, you are not prettier than we are.
Yeah, and after bond in prison, after a few Chewbacca lessons, they agreed to let her join them. Odd captions, Phil Chi is QI. I think, isn't that how it's spelled? I don't know.
Qui.
I think that may be... some separate thing or something.
I love the looks on the faces of the two Kyoshi warriors tightly pulled together close to her, because...
And I love her smile.
Cheesy smile.
Look just like a powder puff girl.
Okay, and then, Zuko meets Aang, both in new outfits. Does he call him Aang? Does he?
I didn't notice that.
I don't think he ever calls him Aang.
He calls him Aang a couple times.
Yeah. Like the first time?
Oh, earlier in the episode?
I don't even know.
I think the first time was actually in 317, and then he called him Aang several times throughout the whole finale.
Okay, yeah, it represents there, growing closer. They both address the crowd, and Zuko gives a speech about the end of the war, and... Yeah, not much... It's like it's over. It kind of resembled his speech to Ozai in 310, 311 when he's coming into there. It would be replaced by an era of love and peace. And Zuko is crowned Fire Lord. Zuko goes to the prison to confront his father. This was something I didn't expect at all. Demands to know where Ursa is. Cliffhanger, Major. And that's not a cliffhanger, though. It's like, think of what happens on your own. But he did say, where is mother? Where is his mother? Not, is she alive? So I guess that resolves that. Did we say? So we're saying she's
alive? Sure, whatever.
I'm not convinced that she's still alive. I mean, how can you know?
I'm not either. So, I guess, maybe spinoff. So, Gang plus Iroh at the Jasmine Dragon. Most in Earth Kingdom robes. Katara's new Earth Kingdom clothes. She looks...
That's epic.
She looks really good in those.
I like it.
I think that was my favorite look for her in the whole series, and it's at the very end. And Aang was in... I think that's an Air Nomad look, isn't it?
Or is it's, that... It was the same outfit that Yang Chen was wearing.
Yeah, that's what I was definitely thinking of. Yeah, so he... I guess he saw her that in that, and he tried to get... He's trying to become...
He also wore the necklace that most airbending masters wore. Like the old...
I guess he's done with his duties as the Avatar. Well, not completely, but he can focus more on being an airbender again, maybe.
I want to comment on the significance of that necklace, though, because in 103, he saw the necklace in the rubble, and he knew immediately that was Gyatso, the greatest airbender in the world. So it's not the... I don't know if that necklace says that he's a master, but not... signifies maybe. That he's the greatest airbender in the world.
Do you think that is Gyatso's necklace there that he's wearing?
It'd be cool if it was.
Yeah, I think it may be. That's pretty cool. And what? Any other... those are the only two outfits I noticed, obviously, because those are the only two characters looking at. Are the rest just in standard Earth Kingdom outfits?
I can't remember. That's why I said most. Because I wouldn't say... If May was still in one.
I wouldn't say standard Earth Kingdom outfits, but they were... They were clearly Earth Kingdom, so...
Yeah, they're all green and stuff. So,
Kind of
same. Maybe they're living there.
Yeah, well, they were. I think they were, like, living in the Earth Kingdom again. That's the impression I got from it.
Mm-hmm.
In Ba Sing Se. Sokka is drawing a group portrait. Again, with the Sokka drawing Joe. It's even at the final thing of the series. Of course, he butchers everything.
Why'd you give me Momo's ears? But those are your hair loopies.
Yeah. She didn't even have hair loopies, though, in her outfit.
Yeah, she did, actually.
Well, they were really small, but...
Yeah.
The Forte weren't that big. And, Iroh. What was Iroh's line?
I'm not that fat anymore.
Yeah. It's like final line from Iroh. And, And Taff, of course, made her standard I can't see anything joke. Yeah.
Last blind joke of the series.
Yeah, last blind joke, 2 minutes in. And then we get the most awesome conclusion scene ever.
Greatest thing ever.
So Aang's outside. He's first throughout the whole thing, Aang's just looking happy. It's like he's completed his duties, he's seeing his whole family there now, the people he loves, and then he goes outside. Katara approaches him and they hug. And then
And this, I was just a bit panicking, because, you know, the camera's coming out, like, as in, fake it's about to go white.
And then they go back in.
And the Katang theme plays.
Yeah. The Cave of Two Lovers Katang theme. But the first music that was playing during the hug was the Into the Nighttime Sky music, which is what they play at the end of an episode. So it's even more of a fake out there. And then they pan out, and then they go back in for the kiss, and then they have the standard Katang theme. It's a great kiss. And then what they do is they kind of flip the camera around, pan, and back out a little bit. And it's the best animation of the episode, I think, in my opinion, that final scene there. And then they pan up into the sun while they're still kissing. What an ending. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I mean, like, they take... I think I definitely suggested this one of the last podcasts, is that they pan up into the sun like they did in the credits. I didn't think they actually do that, though. And go ahead, Ben.
The best part of this whole Katang ending is no words were spoken. No words needed to be spoken between them.
Oh, that's
them.
Just
it was
so
just,
beautiful.
They don't even... They never said I love you to each other. They don't really need to. It's that epic of
simple.
Moments. Yeah. And the and then, you know, I always expected an awesome, amazing Katang scene at the end. I never even dreamed, seriously, I never even thought about it, that it would be the final scene in the series. This is coming from, like, the most diehard Katanger out there. I didn't think it was possible that they would end, and they ended it. Now, I do have some complaints still going at us, but that, like, this scene, they pulled it off. Even with all the stuff that they should have, could have done, they got it. And I forgot to mention the look at Katara gave Aang at Zuko's coronation scene when he was coming out there. It's like the look of, I guess if you're going from the series point of view, the look that she really does love him. And that kind of symbolizes like going from unsureness to sureness in her eyes. And then we go back to that and they kiss and everything. And you can only infer what happens next. And I'm sure I'll read plenty of fanfics about what happens after this.
And the Zutara fans' hopes have died.
No. I don't even want to mention that, please. This isn't about the shipping wars. This is about the series.
And I'm just making a joke. I'm trying to get my sense of humor, okay?
Kentucky buck teeth. Yeah, so then we have the awesome...
I could call you something right now, but
Don't even do it. We have the awesome new ending credit music. It was really epic. They just went through the credits like that. I had to go back to find the directors. And JM animated parts 1, 2, and 4. No, 1, 3, and 4. And Mori did too. Amazing animation.
They could have done better frame rate. I mean, Dylan, you can't tell because your crappy feed, but yeah. I don't know. The amazing, awesome animation scenes, the frame rate was a bit lower than I would have liked, but I'm not complaining because it was too awesome.
Yeah, well, I'll watch it again. I'll watch them again and make a decision on that. But yeah, music, I mean, again, I'm pretty bad audio, so I couldn't really tell, but it was pretty epic music. And, you know, could you have asked for a better finale? Well, I mean, we could go down to every single little detail, and we will. And we will. Yeah, believe me, we will. But, actually, yeah, I already kind of had my cat-ang rant, but I will again, probably. But seriously, this, it just, it's such a conclusion to the series. And it really, it does wrap, it doesn't wrap it all up, but it wraps enough to end it successfully. And this will be it's Sozin's Comet as a whole is the first episode ever I'm giving a perfect 10 out of 10. They pulled it off, and they pulled it off well. Ben, rating?
One thing I want to say, though, is that I never really explained why I gave ratings on any of my other episodes, and I don't know, I'm not very critical about most of these episodes, but for the first time, I'm going to say why I like this.
Okay.
So much of it was just perfect, and I could nitpick, but I'm not going to, and ultimately, it was the best finale they could have done, 10 out of 10. Awesome.
Jeff?
I have two grades. One, as a member of the fandom and of the show, a fan of the show, 10 out of 10, perfect. I define season endings as 10 out of 10 automatically. But as a critically, 9.8, just because of the rushed explanation for the Avatar state.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, I don't know, really, really rushed, and yeah, mm-hmm. So that just tiny, tiny ding.
Sam?
10. I really like the battle scenes. Like, that was enough to give it a 10, but plus all the shipping, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a few more points I'm going to make before this gets out. First, I forgot to mention the Duke and Toph. Where did that come from? It was they were hugging towards the end of the thing. That could be a nice couple. So this Toph.
They're both short.
Yeah. Toph does end up with someone. And then we have Suki Sokka, Mei, Zuko, and Katara. I like that they're definitive about the romances at the end. And Paku and Grangrim.
Iroh needs some love now.
He really does. June should come back and, you know, it's like 50 years, but who gives it arm? Okay, so a couple points. It was really good. They could have done better with the Avatar state. It's not that they didn't pull it off as much as, you know, there was no choice involved. they made the whole Aang choice be whether to kill him or not. Well, it really, another option was whether to let go of Katara or not. And I don't know which one they were planning. I don't know if this was something that they had planned from the beginning with their original thing. With that big choice in the finale was Aang, whether he could kill him or not. By the way, speaking of that, the right choice was made in not killing Ozai. It pretty much sums up Aang's character as a whole and the series as a whole. And just, I love the whole message coming out of here. Love always triumphs over hate, good over evil, I guess. But really, it's violence is not the answer, and that really comes out of this.
I think that because of that choice, Aang might turn out to be one of the greatest avatars to ever come to be.
Oh, yeah, I really
think
so. I
mean, he did this whole thing as a 12-year-old, and
yeah.
he didn't even...
13 by the end now, yeah.
Whatever, yeah, 13.
By the epilogue, he is 13 now, so fake epilogue, because it's been a year, they say. So yeah, back to the avatar state. He has this choice instead of... He needs the avatar state to beat Ozai, except he doesn't. So, let's remember back to the scene where he's redirecting lightning. He could have killed Ozai right there. He didn't need the avatar state. So we saw that it was only a factor, the avatar state, because he was being... he had restraint towards Ozai. So wait,
maybe that's the sort of maturity he needed to...
Yeah.
To get the avatar state.
Yeah, the fact that he showed restraint was part of the maturity towards the avatar state. But the fact they didn't explain it whatsoever. And the choice wasn't a factor. The whole Katara wasn't a factor in the final battle pretty much at all. I mean, well, she was, but like not towards Aang's side. And it's just frustrating to me that they have an amazingly epic romance that's been included in the plot at times throughout the whole thing. And it's been there, and they have a chance at the end to make it a central part of the plot. And at the end shot, the camera pans up from both of them kissing. It's like, this pretty much they're making the statement, this is the Aang and Katara together. This is their storyline. But yet, Katara isn't involved in the main storyline of Aang. I don't really understand that. And I don't know, I'm gonna... It's, and the fact that Katara is indecisive about whether she likes Aang or not. That in 317, as I ranted about yesterday, it goes back on the whole thing. The whole building up that they've had. And it makes it seem like Katara decided within the month that we didn't see. But I really... See, I don't know whether they decided this in the beginning or not. Because really, if they decided in the beginning, you can't criticize them. But the fact that I think they made the decision now to ignore Cad Aang for and ignore their relationship within the episodes from 312 to 316. 317 make it seem like Katara still doesn't know, or she's saying she doesn't know, and then have within the finale Katara not be part of Aang's side of the finale in any way pretty much whatsoever, and at the end they have this huge epic kissing scene, which it seems random, I gotta say.
Well, here's the thing that I just barely thought of. It seems unrealistic that a month would go by after this huge epic fight, and they wouldn't have addressed their feelings at all. So
yeah.
I'm thinking that they kissed and whatever. We just didn't see it, and then here when everything's happy, it's a lot more epic that way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, but. I'm talking about within the show that they put on, though. This is the first time Cad Aang has been really explored in a positive light since...
Mm.
302?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. You have to go all the way back there.
To me, I don't think Katara ever really doubted that she loved Aang. I think that what she was saying in 317, not necessarily her doubt, but she didn't want Aang to be distracted by her, by the mission he had to do. He had to defeat the Fire Lord, and she didn't want to be in the way of his mission. So, I don't know, maybe this is just my interpretation, but to me, I think that Katara was just trying to stay out of the way, not distracting, and so she put up this front that she was having doubts. But that's my interpretation, for what it's worth.
I'd agree with that, actually. I think it's definitely two ways to look at that 317 scene. No, I kind of agree with yours a little more, but even with that, they didn't address the feelings at all there. I mean, if they did talk about it before then, or before the final battle, because if she says she doesn't want to be a distraction, then, I mean, something with the Avatar state, you'd think she'd bring it up at some point. And I win my bet with Josh from last night that Katara never knew what was going on with the Avatar state. That this whole thing, she really didn't. It's just frustrating.
The next podcast, there's going to be so many "I told you so's" going back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. But
I choose not to participate in the shipping wars, so.
Yeah, but that, well, this isn't even shipping wars. This is just how Kettings blend into the story. But, I mean, even with, if she does want to stay out of the way, they needed to make that more clear. They needed to have, I don't know, just some of their point of view here, because really, that's such an epic scene. I couldn't have asked for more in the final scene. I just wish it was built upon a little bit, or more at all. And, I don't know, maybe it was from reading too many fan fictions of Katara and Aang going into fight Oza together. Maybe I was just, that's just stuck in my mind too much, but something like that, or at least her being a part of the Avatar State thing. I do think they butchered the Avatar State at the end. That was the major complaint. I really only have two complaints about the finale. Avatar State didn't address anything, and you couldn't understand the lion turtle. That's pretty much it. And no chit saying. Yeah.
Spinoff.
Yeah, but yeah, those are the possible. We have three possible spinoffs. We have Ursa, what Zuko's going to do in finding Ursa. Iroh's past, what happened with his trip to the spirit world and everything. And the adventures of Chit Sang. I like the last one. So, yeah.
Oh, wait, we can't forget about Sokka and Toph in space.
Oh, yeah. Space pirate shenanigans, yeah.
Evil shenanigans.
It's a really amazing finale. I mean, this is only like 90 minutes right now. We'll get more into it. I think we're going to have another podcast next week with us discussing it.
Mm. Woohoo!
But yeah, yay. This was amazing. It's over, guys.
It's over.
We Why? Can't think like that. There will be something else for Avatar. There will be the mini episodes and there'll be the movies. We can't give up on the fandom.
It's over. Oh, that's off. Don't this be so podcast. Down. In the background right now, you hear it. What do you hear? The world.
It's the end of the world.
It's the end of the world. By. Is this by Three Doors Down again?
No, let me find it.
Yeah, it is. I think we have two Three Doors Down songs in this thing.
It's on my iTunes. It says by REM.
Is it? Oh, wait. Is it? Let me check. I have it on my.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, I am. Whatever. So yeah, that's. I'll talk and look at it at the same time. So this off this week's podcast. I've been your main host. Co-host have been me, Ben. I said me for co-host. Jeff, Sam, Melanie. I think that's it. Yeah, it is by REM. So, Three Doors Down, I'm getting REM now. Which means musical remixes by Luke Tripp, technical director AJ Kevin, the new intro in the beginning by AJ, I edit Down with Fang Zone by Jake, future podcasts, next week we'll probably have a second finale discussion.
You know I'll be there. I have no life.
I'm into that.
It's my New Year's resolution. Have a life.
Have a life.
I'm gonna get some popcorn, sit down, and listen to the I Told You So's. This'll be a blast.
I don't know if there are gonna be, any I Told You So's. I mean, and the fact that we couldn't really go over 90 minutes just shows how definitive and ending the thing is. I don't want to mention that right now, Jeff, the thing you just posted in Skype, because I don't know which for sure yet.
I'm gonna go and watch it again right now.
Really?
Yeah,
what
really.
What time is it for you there?
1:33.
Well, you're at...
I'm in Mountain Standard Time.
Mountain Time, okay. Well, that's it. No more new episodes.
I'm sad.
Sucks.
I can't believe I didn't cry during the finale. I was in hysterics during the cat and kiss. I was like, oh my god. I was like cracking... Not cracking up, but like laugh crying for so long. Well, let's end in unison.
Katang.
I think a bye is appropriate.
Love conquers all.
Love conquers all, I like that, but that's a little weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Melon Lord.
Well, bye means feels like we're done with the podcast. We're not done with the podcast yet, guys. We got some more to come. Unison.
I like Melon Lord.
Such an awesome finale, and we get Melon Lord from it.
Father Lord? I don't know.
That's how good it is. We can get something as bad as that, and it still is good.
Still is amazing. Okay, it's still Melon Lord. 1, 2, 3, Melon Lord.
Melon Lord.
Melon Lord.
Melon Lord.
Melon Lord.
That wasn't a good play.
I'll say. No kidding. Horrible. You said it.
But the effects were decent.